Wednesday, August 12th, and this is the Lori and Julia Show on My Talk 107.1.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have to tell people that John Waters, the legendary John Waters, yes, Hairspray fame and
the director.
He's a hilarious, wonderful, amazing guy, and he's written like his sixth book, and he's going to be on at 3:30.
I know.
Super excited and kind of nervous because he is legend.
He is legend, and they sent one book and you got it. So you're going to be in charge, which I feel really good about.
I love The Tarnished Wisdom of a Filth Elder, which is the name of his book, Mr. Know-It-All. It's very, very funny. And then I get a text last night.
Bragger. You know, my dad, first of all,
yeah,
Bragger, because right. I still am without a phone, but yes.
So I get a text from my dad's wife, and she says, your dad in the RV made the New York Times today, and the zipper is in Sturgis. He left a week ago Wednesday, and he goes to Sturgis, you know, well, we were there 20 years ago today, Julia.
Was it?
On Wednesday.
On
that we were there for, I was there for 10 days, you were there for 5, selling our body person.
Very memorable days, nothing I'd ever experienced before in my life.
No, and I remember you looked at me like I was crazy when I said we're going to do our market research for the nipples in Sturgis, because mm-hmm. I maintain that every walk of life bikes through Sturgis, and it'll be market research, the ultimate focus group.
It really was.
It really was. Yeah. And so my dad, you know, he makes his RV campground reservation, you know, every year. And he really wanted me to go with him this year. And Casey informed me I'd be quarantining in a hotel for 2 weeks after I got home, if I even thought about going.
Absolutely. And your dad wears a mask and everything.
Well, my dad doesn't go to bars.
Okay.
And he...
Because there's a lot of that going out. There are guilt pictures, things that are going on.
And he doesn't go to the campgrounds at night for like the buffalo chip and Full Throttle. He does all of his activities.
And everyone should know what those are.
Well, the Full Throttle Saloon and the Buffalo Chip Campground are the two of the bigger places that have music and stuff. And... anyway, but my dad doesn't do that. Maybe when he's not with his wife and he was on a guy's trip, he mm-hmm. would do that. But he's a daytime rider, and his wife does make him wear a mask when they get off the bikes and they're milling around with all the bikers. Because that's what you do. You ride, then you stop somewhere like Spearfish Can.
So beautiful, that area.
And then everyone gets off and just mills around, talks, and then gets back on the bike and ride. You know, so... anyway, so he was going, and his wife's like, I'm going to make him wear a mask when we're off the mm-hmm. bike. So I just like, I'm like, Dad, don't go to bars. Don't go to town and don't go to bars. That was my advice. So he's like, well, I want to make the Rapid City Journal. It's the 80th anniversary of Sturgis.
Because you know who was on the cover of it? I was.
That's right.
So 20 years ago today.
He's been trying...
I wish I would have known that. I should have found that picture.
I know. So he's like, I want to be in the front page of the Rapid City Journal because it's the 80th anniversary. And, you know, I'm almost 80. And I'm like, Dad, actually last summer he thought he was going to be 80 for the Sturgis thing. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be difficult because you're 77. And so,
but I collect, you know, you can remember yourself at any age you want. Usually you don't project forward.
Anyway, so he, you know, he's got the road warrior that he, the fifth wheeler that he hauls the bikes.
And Mary's with him.
Yes. And my dad in the RV, I've not been able to find it yet on the New York Times, but he was giddy.
So what is the picture of? Is it just a picture of him in his RV?
Yeah, probably with the accompanying story about are all these Sturgis people going to come back and spread it to the rest of us?
And there's your dad front and center. Hello! Hey, I'm going to be on the cover.
I know. So I just thought, oh,
I wish we could find it.
I know. And I have, you know,
the New York Times. I know you do.
I can't remember the passcode
ever.
No, I really can't. It's kind of bad. But anyway, I'm happy for my dad that.
How did he find it? He just said,
I believe someone saw it.
Okay.
That maybe has Wi-Fi at their campground.
Okay.
Because it's sketchy out there, if you remember even.
Oh, Lori, I don't remember.
We did have our little flip phones. Well, everybody did 20 years ago. We had our little flip phones, and that's how, if we needed Casey to get us more rum, because we stayed at a campground like a mile from town.
You still have flip phones.
No. We don't have flip phones anymore, Amy.
You're real close.
But anyway, we'd be like, Casey. And the song of the summer was Smooth by Santana.
And Rob Thomas. Mm-hmm.
Go get us some Malibu rum.
No.
It's going to be a long night. No, Captain Morgan.
It was Captain Morgan.
Mm-hmm. And Coke.
And we'd sit at our booth that sat at the top of it.
Nipples,
the number 4. Sale.
Right outside of the...
Imagine the attention that we got.
Right outside of the laundromat.
Amy, I got to find... And you know, before we went, I had all these beautiful signs made. Don't be afraid to stand out, with a beautiful silhouette of a woman's breast with a perky nipple on it.
No, it looked like a Massengill, an old douche commercial.
And the lines, but we had our t-shirts, don't be afraid to stand out. They were so fun. And then literally no one knew what we were selling. And so Casey and I went to...
It was the sunglass guy across the street came over and said, what are you girls selling over here? And we said, nipples. He goes, why doesn't your sign say nipples for sale?
It was a crazy... You lasted a long time. No,
I did 10 days.
You have no idea.
He was a marketing genius.
At the end of the 10 days, because... You know, your brother-in-law and Casey and I were there for the whole time.
Yep.
We had to go to the little thing in Sturgis where all the vendors go to say how much they sold. And, of course, everybody lies like crazy.
Right.
Because you got to pay your taxes on the spot.
$20 million. Here's who came to our booth. Anthony Roberts.
Robbins.
Dan Gladden. Who else famous did we see? We saw some other person.
Oh, Julia, we met porn stars to appellate court judges and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. And the costuming is
something else.
Something else.
All right, listen, we got to go. It's time for a story we can't get enough of.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Can
we just talk? Oh man, I saw this last night and I just went, I felt so bad. Trini Lopez passed away yesterday. And Trini Lopez, if you don't know him, you probably, if you've ever seen the movie The Dirty Dozen, you saw him in that. And that was a movie that Casey and I watched, like, the beginning of the lockdown. We were kind of watching.
I know you did.
On TCM, some classics. And Trini Lopez is in The Dirty Dozen. But he... is really kind of a cool guy. There's going to be a documentary that's coming out about him that just finished. He was 85. The COVID got him. And he is known for 2 songs. Well, his song, If I Had a Hammer.
I think Had a Hammer out, in the Moon.
But he didn't do it like the Mary. They,
no. Should we find their version?
Yeah, we'll play. I think we have it here. Let's see if we got it. Maybe not.
All right. I'd hammer in the evening.
No, you're singing it wrong. You're not singing it.
I know, but I'm just trying to fill the space. Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm. This was the first one to go, before Peter Paul.
If I had a hammer, I hammer in the morning, I hammer in the evening, all over this land. I hammer out of danger, I hammer out a warning, I'd hammer by the love between my brothers and sisters.
Okay, so you know that song. Maybe you recognize that version because it's the upbeat
one.
And he also did this song called The Lemon Tree. So he... like I said, this documentary just wrapped up about him, and he crossed over into acting. First, he was in music, and he was in The Dirty Dozen, and then he was like on Adam 12, and he did some other stuff. But he also became a designer of guitars that became a favorite of like Dave Grohl and what's his name from Oasis, these line of Gibson guitars. But Buddy Holly saw Trini Lopez at a small nightclub in Wichita Falls, Texas. And introduced him.
That's a new town.
I know, but Buddy Holly was doing that circuit, going around. That's how you did it back then. And He introduced him to his record producer. And 6 months later, Buddy Holly dies in the plane crash. And Trini Lopez replaced him as lead singer of the Crickets.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And then he moved to Southern California and he got a gig at this place called PJ's Nightclub in West Hollywood. And Frank Sinatra saw him performing there and offered him on the spot a contract with his new record label, Reprise. And that's where Lopez got his first hit, If I Had a Hammer.
The year was 1963 and it was number one.
In 40 countries.
Yep.
And they became good friends, Frank and Trini. They ran in the same circles.
I love that name, Trini. That'd be such a cute name.
And he was under great pressure to change his name because Richie Valens, you know, La Bamba, he changed his name. And Trini Lopez was like, no, I'm Mexican American. I'm keeping that name. And so he ran around. With Frank and stuff, but he got a Grammy nomination for Best New Artist in 63. And by early 1964, because of that, If I Had a Hammer, he was so in demand that he and the Beatles were the co-headliners at an 18-day engagement in Paris.
Wow.
And it was just before the Beatles came to the U.S. to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show. And then that upended the careers of Trini Lopez and everybody else that was sort of in that crooner things. And the French newspapers would say, bravo, Trini Lopez, who are these Beatles?
Funny.
Yeah. Yep. So,
bravo.
Anyway, and so he always he just has an interesting life story.
The movie's going to be My Name is Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
He's just...
I just love that name so much. And this has led me to be allowed to go and read the Palm Springs Life Journal.
Yes.
Which we like our Beverly Hills Courier.
Yes.
And we like our little local newspapers in different towns. They're so much fun. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho.
Anyway, I just looked at him and I was just like, oh, Trini, I just watched you in The Dirty Dozen. That movie holds up. Anyway, and he was like, John Bream tweeted something about him. It was quite something at the time that he refused to change his name.
Yeah.
And make it, you know, the Anglophile or, you know, so that we don't want people knowing you're, you know, Mexican.
Oh, please.
And he just refused. He's like, I'm a Lopez.
Right.
So, anyway, so Trini Lopez, rest in peace. The New York Daily News, rest in peace. The New York Times is reporting that the New York Daily News is donezo. They've closed the newsroom downtown. They didn't even acknowledge on their front page. And the paper was sold to Tribune Publishing. Remember, that was the dumb company that changed their name to Trunk. When they went public.
Trunk. That was the dumbest name ever. Hey, guys, John Waters people are calling right now.
Oh, they are. Well, let's talk to John Waters. You were whispering in my ears.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
And I was praying you weren't saying John Waters is not doing our show today.
All right, let's put him on right now.
But we're just going to go to the call right now.
I'm going to place you in.
All right.
John Waters.
Hello.
John, this is Lori and Julia from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we are so excited to talk to you. We're just kind of all verklempt, you know what I mean?
Good, thank you.
Good. Okay, so John, you're like, we're reading Mr. Know-It-All, The Tarnished Wisdom of a Filth Elder, and damn it, you are a funny storyteller and, of course, a legendary filmmaker, so thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
So this latest book is a collection of different essays?
Kind of. It's more like a memoir part because I wrote in an earlier book I did, Shock Value, about the making of my early films, and it went up to Polyester. So this is from then on, my Hollywood years and how I negotiated through it and started in the gutter and ended back up in the gutter. And how it all was a happy experience.
And then
I have in essays about things I love, like insane foodie restaurants and my brutalist dream house and how to fall in love and even how to beat death itself. So I think it's an all-purpose self-help book for all crazy people that want to triumph.
The book is just, I had never read any of your books. Of course, we've seen your movies, and I have to just say from, you know, my brother he's like, does John Waters know how important you were to people, like young gay kids, like the summer between junior and freshman year, he and his other friend Tom, who neither one of them had said out loud they were gay, but they were 17. They watching right. Hairspray made them realize there was a world for them outside of tiny little Spanaway, Washington.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say it made them think they weren't gay. They liked fat girls.
Oh, my God.
No, he was
that's
just
even
like,
better.
He was just like that. He said, and then we watched Pink Flamingos, and then we were traumatized, but it all came.
And then they went back to the, call the police. Right. Well, the thing about Pink Flamingos, that's a really the flattering thing to me, is that each generation has discovered my films again. And Pink Flamingos doesn't get nicer. It still works, no matter what you think.
It really does. And Hairspray, you know, when people, if you've never seen the 1988, you know, the first one, the original John Waters, yeah. I mean, Sonny Bono, Ricky Lake, Divine, mm-hmm. Blondie, you're casting, you've always, one of the things that I think is interesting about how you cast quirky or interesting people that would be maybe quote unquote outside of mainstream and make them be stars.
Well, at the same time, I cast Johnny Depp at the height of his teen idol career. I had Melanie Griffith, Johnny Knoxville, Tracy Ullman. I had, and then at the same time, I always put him with like Mink Stole and people that were part of my team that my audience grew mm-hmm. up with. So I like to mix and match.
Match,
I think
yeah.
The craziest one was Crybaby, where I had everybody with Joey Heatherton, Joe D'Alessandro, Patricia Hearst. I mean, so that one, when the cast would run in a restaurant, come in a restaurant together, usually people would ask for autographs. They would run from us here because they were so horrified.
Is that true, John, that Johnny Depp, like, because he was right in 21 Jump Street, so it was like when he, you know, I mean, screaming girls.
It was like Justin Bieber, man.
Okay.
The girls were trying to buy the sewage from his trailer when we were making the movie.
Did his people not want him to do Crybaby?
Nope, they didn't not want him. They want, in a weird way, they wanted him to do it, I think, because A, he got $1 million, which for them was unbelievable, and he said to me, you got me $1 million, how could that possibly be?
Wow.
Secondly, it made him be taken seriously in a way because he took a risk to make this movie with me, which was the opposite of a safe move for a teen mm-hmm. idol. And afterwards, Tim Burton, while we were making it, came in and watched the dailies and put him in Edward Scissorhands, and that changed his whole career. He went on to not be a teen idol. And that's how he did it, by making fun of being one in Crybaby.
Yeah, and then you tell a great story in your book about, you know, Brad Pitt was almost in Crybaby, except for your good sense.
Well, no, he came to millions of people read for the part, and Brad Pitt had, I think, just gotten to Hollywood. He was not known at all.
At all, okay.
I don't think he had even made the Thelma and Louise or anything. So he just walked in, and we all thought, oh, my God, who is that? You know, this person's going to be a huge star. But he couldn't play Johnny Depp's sidekick. It just didn't, you know, you need somebody kind of quirkier looking. And Darren Burroughs got the part, and he was right. But I'm probably the only person that turned down Brad Pitt, you know. And he didn't care. He went on to have an amazing career. And the few times I've seen it, it was a fluke that came out to be pretty funny, I think. It lasted longer than I ever imagined.
Yeah, it really did. And I also, you know, when we were reading the book, I really appreciated the chapter that you did on Andy Warhol.
Thank you, because I'm tired of seeing Andy be painted as a villain these days, any of these people. So I just wanted to kind of stick up for him.
Right. Yeah, no, it was. I liked that, you know, and just because I didn't really know that much, like maybe about some of the movies. I think maybe more the art, like we know. So I appreciated that you're like flipping the view on that one. And also,
I had a lot about his movies because I think they're incredibly important. And people have heard about him. Oh, yeah, he made a movie of somebody sleeping for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's kind of a really radical idea. It's called moving pictures, and he made them not move. That's pretty radical.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the other thing I got just a kick out of was your story about just kind of how music is so important to you, and you're just remembering
of
the great
music has been, you know, every genre. I listen to outlaw country in the car. I play rap music that my assistants tell me about. You have to have youth spies because I wouldn't know them. I like teen novelty songs. Mm-hmm. I like the Chipmunks. I like Justin Bieber. I like Crazy Answer Records. I like Bobby Boris Pickett. There's all kinds of music. I like opera. I love opera.
Well, we love you.
I like it.
We love you, John Waters, and thank you for taking time and talking to us today, Mr. Nordahl.
Right, thank you all.
The tarnished wisdom of a filth elder. All right, listen, we'll be right back.
It's Lori and Julia here for First Equity Mortgage. And oh my gosh. All right, people. We say the same thing every day because it's like such good news.
Why you to listen to us when it comes to your money?
I got my mortgage and, you know, statement in the mail today. I was on a walk with a neighbor and I'm like, let's just look at my percentage. It is so low. It is so nice to be paying such a low interest rate. And I worked with David on this, like, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and so it's just been really great. The interest rates are historically low right now. Refinancing makes so much sense. Don't leave money on the table.
Home values are more than they are, like, even if you looked a couple years ago. First Equity, go to mytalk1071.com, keyword David, send an email. Get the process going. Well, shoot, all the people who are tuning in right now to hear John Waters, you're going to have to back it up because we had a just as mixed signals, or otherwise known as writing it down wrong on our part. Julie and I.
These things happen.
Yeah, these things happen.
But then when John Waters people called, I was like, oh, the girls will not live through the rest of this day if we pass this up.
Oh my gosh, no.
So we rushed John Waters to you.
Yes, I'm so glad that you did. And I heard him this morning. He was on Andy Cohen's show. And I remember thinking, I hope he doesn't swear on our show because he's been doing evenings with John Waters way before any of these other people started doing these one-person shows, you know, Carrie Fisher, any of them. He's been doing them for a long time. He's an interesting guy, but he's a frequent and quite a melodic cursor. And I kept thinking, gee, I hope someone reminds him that this isn't a satellite radio
You know, we
station.
Almost should do it every time because I think I was just talking to Grant, who's... We've got a whole new crew this week on the Lori and Julia show. Yeah. Grant, you can say hi. You're a person. You can talk.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Grant. Hi. So, and you're a ginger.
I am.
He's a sweet guy. So Grant's helping us out here while Holly is taking some time. But I was just telling Grant, and you guys would know best, that these Hollywood types, they don't have the same rules.
No, they don't
think about it. And we've had this happen more than once.
Because of the proliferation of podcasts.
I think it was before podcasts. I think they just in a movie studio, unless you're rolling, you can say whatever you want.
Right.
You know, they just don't recognize that it's radio. We've had more high level
swearing
from Hollywood types than anybody else.
Well, Gloria Steinem said the S word not once, but twice in 20 minutes. We were so honored.
That's right. Well, do you remember when we used to carry the Gayle King show?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember who she had on, but it was a Hollywood celebrity who said the F word. Whoa. On our air.
Well, I remember very, very, vaguely. Very, very, very early on, I might have used that word, but I...
Not once, but you said it twice. Mm-hmm. Because you said it once, and then when we said kerfuffle...
Mm-hmm, I said that wrong.
You gave a new meaning and put in the CK, and it's actually a really great word.
Oh, it's such a sweet word, and you ruined it.
I did.
But John Waters, one of the things that...
I mean, he did so many cool movies. He's so cool. He's, like, so cool. That was not enough time, but it was great.
Yeah, I mean, Hairspray and
Divine, Crybaby.
Well, Divine was he put Divine in Hairspray, but Divine had been in Pink Flamingos and other movies. But Crybaby was a huge... bomb at the box office.
Right. And they paid Johnny Depp $1 million, which is what he just said.
Yeah. And Johnny Depp met Winona Ryder when he was filming this movie. The photos that we kept seeing during the Johnny Depp trial were of Johnny and Winona when they would say show pictures. And that was at the premiere of Crybaby.
Okay. 1990.
And he talked Johnny Depp out of marrying Winona Ryder. Because Johnny Depp was like 26 and Winona was 18. He said, and I talked Johnny out of marrying her and her parents thanked me.
Oh, really?
So that was a little thing in there. And of course, then a lot of, you know, he writes every line of his movies. Mm-hmm. So, and he's very, you know, like dirty and juvenile and everything else.
Here's what a quote from him was. I was drawn to the forbidden subject matters from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. Well, he also says, I was born with a screw loose and there's mm-hmm. a lot of us out there.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't, he just wanted to be in Little Richard's body. He fell in love with him. He stole a record, a Little yeah. Richard album when he was 12. And he just wanted to be in his body and have that voice, that yeah. music and that movement come out of him. And he was so jealous of that.
And a lot of people, including my brother, they use many of his lines, including my own personal little oven has become a pickup line over the years because he's known for such a funny turn of phrase.
Julia. All right.
You know,
but you like the book. And oh, what's the name of the book for the people book, who are
Mr.
listening?
Mr. Know-It-All. Mr. Know-It-All, The Tarnished Wisdom of a Filth Elder. And he just has an outrageous imagination.
Yeah.
He's really, really funny.
John Waters, if you're just joining us.
Yeah. And he, like, the first chapter is just like, people, there's nothing wrong with you if you're just, you're like a lunatic fringe. You have a screw loose. I mean, he's very much.
It's okay. It's okay to be odd.
But this is like his sixth or seventh book. My brother's read all of them. And mm-hmm. this book got nominated for a Grammy for Best Spoken Word Book because he reads it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and he told Andy he did make a ton of money from Hairspray.
Oh, when they remade it too?
And because it's yeah. never, it's continuously been on Broadway since right. it was adapted into
a good
until the COVID.
Movie. Yeah.
And it is a great musical on Beyond. Stage.
Beyond.
Right
so
there
much fun.
With Jersey Boys, mm-hmm. side by side as far as the music. But if you've never seen the original Hairspray, the 1988 version, and you've only seen the John Travolta.
I don't know if I've ever seen the
Ricky
original.
Ricky Lake is in it.
Ben Stiller's dad, Jerry Stiller's in it.
Yes, he plays her dad. Divine is the mom, Mrs. Turnblad.
Sonny Bono.
Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Brown is, you know, the lady at the record shop.
Jeez.
It's really, really hilarious. Mm-hmm. And you know what? John Waters said the best thing to come out of the Hairspray, the musical is on Broadway, not only
the money,
mm-hmm. but he discovered Jackie Hoffman, who she was the maid in Feud. She's kind of got a rubbery face, and she's the one who's got the great drag name, yep. Consuelo Consuelo.
Yes.
Jackie Hoffman uh-huh. is very fun to follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's, kind of funny, but he says, I love this discovering Jackie Hoffman.
I love that.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. So that
Super
was exciting.
Fun.
That was a fun half hour. All right.
Okay. Here's something. You know, why do people clutch their pearls and their diapers about songs is what I would like to know. So Cardi B and Cardi B's song, WAP, which dropped last Thursday, and I don't know if we're calling it WAP or WAP, but there's no periods between the letters, so I just call it WAP.
Sure.
The kids might be calling it WAP mm-hmm. because it does stand for something. Wet apple pie is what I'll say.
Not on the radio yet.
No, it won't be.
No, this is a YouTube video.
Well, it is. I mean, they would have to. I don't know who's playing it.
YouTube.
No, Julia, I think that there might be hip-hop stations or something that are playing it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not in programming for that thing.
Okay. And
I mean,
are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
They haven't got that job
yet. Because
they
changed it to Wet and Gushy.
Oh, right, okay.
Is what they changed it to. I don't know who plays, you know, Cardi B. I don't know what stations with all the, you know, regulation. It seems so piecemeal how radio is done now, music wise.
Okay, I don't even know where to go, but finish your thing about the
Julia. I'm saying that you play this music, we play yeah. this music, so I don't know who plays hip-hop in this market. I have no idea. So anyway, but people have been clutching their pearls and grabbing their diapers over this song because of the lyrics. Very super suggestive. CeeLo Green decides to talk to some magazine. Now, CeeLo Green, who's been accused of rape and actually had to apologize in for Twitter. He got booted off The Voice. He had to apologize because one time on Twitter, he defended having sex with girls who are passed out because in his mind, just because
he's a problem. I'm so disappointed in him. I loved his music.
Yeah.
And then he,
So he went on and on about these ladies, you know, how they're, how terrible they are and all this other stuff. And guess who's come? He's since apologized.
Yes, he has.
But guess who's coming to the defense of the song? Doctors. Because doctors know that WAP makes for better sex.
Okay.
For everybody.
So they're just talking about lubes?
Dr. Mm-hmm. Daniel Grossman. Well, for people who are naturally, you know, slippery when wet, as that song goes. In my medical opinion, Dr. Daniel Grossman at the University of California, he said it is important for women to have WAP, this doctor says. I don't know why people are shaming anybody about this song. It is a common experience, and we should not shame women who have it. Another doctor, Julia, at Northwestern Medicine Center.
I'm having a hard time because we have this new person sitting over there that's never been on our show.
Can you just explain really quickly what is it?
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't?
No, it's a lubricated vagina.
Okay, no. Yeah. Okay, that's more than we needed.
Well, I was just trying to, I called it
wet apple pie, you know, trying to get the American pie thinking going on. Anyway,
I'm just like, oh, gosh.
Okay, we're out of time.
It's a good and healthy thing is the deal. It means your body's responding the way it's supposed to. And this is what that song. We do not need to be mansplained by to anybody about that this is a bad thing.
Excellent.
This is a good thing.
Well said, honey.
All right. Jeez Louise. This has just been, how would we call this first 45
minutes? Hopefully not our tryout.
We'll be right back.
All right, gang. Here we are. Let's see how our edition goes for the next 15 minutes.
I know. I love Julia. If that song is played on YouTube, Lori, and I'm like, no, it's played on a radio.
I was talking about the video.
song.
You know what? We should just be transparent. We have so many people.
Thank you.
That are out right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
Oh my God. We're not going to get into that, but we're just going to say that we are in a situation where, as people may or may not know, I have never run a board since I've been here. I'm the boss of Lori and Julia and everybody here. I learned it in about 20 minutes yesterday, which is not anywhere near enough.
Gregor,
I didn't do that. I didn't do that great. But then and now, sweet, darling, adorable Grant is here helping us, and Grant's having to learn it on the fly. So the show, the beginning of the show didn't go exactly as we wanted.
Oh, I loved it. It reminded me of the early days
of
the radio.
But you know what? We're all better.
What he was doing at board.
Exactly. So we're all, I didn't mean exactly about that, Donnie, if you just
heard that. No, he knows that.
But, you know, we've got it all square now. We're all good to go, but we just understand that we've got a lot of people volunteering to get My Talk through this tough period.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. But it's not just us. I mean, this is what everyone is living with right now. We are not different.
Yeah.
You know, we're just dealing with the same difficulties, and ours are less. We're working.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that are not working.
Right.
So, you know, all of our pain is relative, but I would say running a radio show is probably not at the top. Top of the pain chart.
Probably not.
It was just funny.
Yeah. I know. Julie, it's so funny because Lori's always like,
I can't.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out.
I know.
Julia's like,
I can't see anything.
You can't even focus on it.
I can't see anything. And Lori's like, there's stuff going on over there. And I'm like, what? I can't.
It doesn't matter if you can see. I'm watching them over there pushing buttons and doing things. And what do I do? What do I care? You know?
Grant.
I love it. You guys are like, it's funny. Well, I'm sweating over here.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
But I've got confidence from Amy that, and like, you got the ship is going to go straight forward from this point forward.
It doesn't have any other choice.
Thanks for your positivity, Julie.
Oh, I know. And she's over here smiling. Yeah,
it's great.
Oh, I don't know about this.
You know what? It is what it is. It's a moment in time. We'll get through it.
I know.
Let's just pretend all of that's gone. Yes, you have. You have done tens of thousands. Let's move on and
actually
have a good time.
10. When Donnie did the math, when he came, it was like 4,000 something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, 5,400 or something.
It's because of all your vacation.
Well,
no, because he didn't factor in vacation.
I wish I had a computer. I'm going to figure out again because
no, you're not. Because that's math.
Don't make idle threats that you don't.
Well, I don't have anything to figure out.
You don't have a phone or a calculator.
You
have a calculator anymore?
At home, I do.
Okay,
but it's the weirdest feeling because just from so many different circumstances to not have a phone, how dependent we are because. Even when you're emailing to get the new phone and everything, they're having, you need to call us. I'm like, how?
Right.
You know, no one works in offices anymore. Your home phone is, for most people these days, it's a cell phone. So I'm like, how do I call anybody? It's a weird.
This is why you might want to consider just keeping your old landline, which just costs nothing because it's bundled into your cable. And then you just have it in case your power goes out or you don't have a phone.
Right.
And you're not completely hamstrung.
It's just weird. It's a weird feeling.
It costs nothing to keep your landline.
No, it does now, Lori.
Well, I mean, it's bundled in. So
I unbundled it and saved money.
Okay, but how are you glad you did that?
Because
now
today.
You've been without a phone.
She unbundled it.
Not since Monday morning. I haven't been happy.
To say, you know, I mean, yeah.
Julia, get a princess phone. Plug it back in the wall.
I know, right?
Go back in time. Twirl your hair. Talk
lovely?
To your girlfriends.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Okay, so the guy who coined the famous phrase when it comes to television, content is king, of course, couldn't be more right than he is right now because king of content is Netflix. Basically, the top 10 streaming shows, 9 out of 10 of them were all Netflix original. Yeah. Only one wasn't, Shameless, last week. Mm-hmm. But Sumner Redstone passed away, billionaire media mogul at 97. And he was in his day a business juggernaut and one of the richest men in the world. He had a family that controlled CBS and Viacom. I guess they still do. But
then he went on to Paramount Pictures. And
then
MTV.
He was a very, very interesting man when it came to his love life.
Yes, he was.
But he's been like for the last 10 years, basically, in a hospital bed.
At home with a bunch of young...
No, not
nurses.
He got rid of the... Sherry, his daughter, who took over Viacom, got rid of those ladies like 10 years ago. But he's like, I don't know, just not been himself. So his family is probably relieved that he's passed away because he's just been going downhill for 10 years. But he really was very dynamic. And it was like... 30 years ago or that he said content is king and whoever has content will be king of this business.
That is so, you are totally right, Lori. That is so ahead of its time.
It very much was.
Because back in the day, if you can just tell by going back and looking at some of the shows that passed for content, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's, and content is king, and that Netflix has 9 out of 10 of the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goes to show that you can spend, which they do, a ton of money.
Yeah.
But by the way, so did Quibi. How'd that work out?
Yeah, not too good.
You know, it's all about content.
And Redstone's dad owned a small chain of family drive-in theaters, and he, through bare-knuckle takeovers and sheer determination, he became the controlling shareholder of CBS and Viacom. That included Paramount Pictures, Showtime, Simon & Schuster, MTV, Comedy Central, and Nickelodeon. And then he added the Tiffany Network, and... That's what he was the proudest of, was that he took a bunch of drive-in theaters and made them two of the best media companies in the world. So he really was, but he loved the limelight, and he had a thing
where he had
girlfriends and hookers. And I mean, it was like
you did in old Hollywood.
Yeah, and his daughter had to fight to take over because the women were kind of hijacking some of the money, she thought, and she was worried about the will.
Well, when you talk about the Tiffany Network, CBS got that moniker. I didn't know that only because of the quality of their programs. But that's when you said the Tiffany Network. I'm like, what?
That was
network?
The gold standard.
What network is that?
Yeah.
CBS.
And at one point in his life, he declared he was never going to intend to die. So there you go. Anyway.
Anyhow,
you can't ever make that promise.
Yeah, no, you can't.